Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and of course, I'm joined by Contreras. How you doing, Contreras?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Not too bad. I somehow always end up sick. I have no idea how it happens.
You're a very sickly person, it seems like.
Yeah, really. Like, I never used to be like that.
All of a sudden,
I seem to be getting sick every single week, so...
What's the weather like this there?
Horrible, so that probably makes sense.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. It's just not...
It's 80 degrees here in Dallas.
It is not very good weather here. How is it there?
It's about 75, 80 degrees.
I truly hate you. 80 degrees? Are you serious?
It's about that. I'd gladly trade with you because I love the cold weather.
Not like this cold. No one likes it like this cold. No way.
My sister went to, they went to Kansas City this past weekend to look at a house, and it said it got like to 9 degrees up there.
9 degrees?
Yeah.
And how could you possibly like that? Or even, you know, think that that's, you know, why would you look at a house?
I'm a cold weather person. I love the cold weather. I sleep better when it's cold. I don't know.
Well, that's you could definitely do that, man. All right. So what's the date of the show we're at?
I believe it's June 30th.
June
Monday
30th.
Night. Yeah.
This was a very big show because it was the last show before the Bash of the Beach, wasn't it?
Yes. And actually, 2 days before this, they had a Saturday Nitro in California, and Chris Jericho beat Six to win the Cruiserweight title.
That wasn't televised, though, was it? It was just supposed to be like a big show.
Yeah, it might have been one of those internet pay-per-listen shows that they were doing back then. You know, where you could, like, sign up and listen to the show on the internet or something like that. They were doing those back then.
That was cool, though. I mean, that's a cool idea. I don't know.
Yeah, so, about how advanced they are now. I mean, if they're still around, you probably actually get to see the whole show, you know. Nobody thought about this stuff back then, I don't think.
Yeah, like, you just never, I don't know.
I will admit right. that back in the 80s, I would call the wrestling hotline and listen to wrestling matches on that.
Would you really?
Yeah, like the old NWA hotlines and stuff like that. Like they'd have some of the call of the matches and stuff, like from some of the house shows or something like that on there, and I would call and listen to that. And by the end of the month, I would get a ass whipping. Stayed on the phone too long.
Well, I mean, wasn't it like at that time, wasn't it like $1.49 a minute plus 99
yeah.
each additional minute?
Yeah.
Wow, just for house show results. I mean, seriously, like, that's crazy. I don't know. All right, let's go ahead and start off the show. This is a big one because, like I said, there was that Raw that I had seen before that said on June 30th, a lot of people were going to be debuting in WCW. So I remember like this was like a very hotly contested, moment for WCW because 6 days away, he didn't have a partner. He didn't have a partner for his match against the Macho Man and Scott Hall at Bash of the Beach.
Yeah, and they were building up, you know, they've been teasing for weeks that a major star was going to make his debut, and it actually ended up being two. So
it was two.
Got two for the price of one.
I mean, this is probably the biggest. Well, I mean, we'll discuss it. All right. The show starts. Ric Flair comes out. Flair's acting like an asshole. But Flair's at this point in 97 where he can't be a heel. He can't
yeah.
be a heel just because they love him too much. They love him too much.
Yeah,
and then Roddy Piper comes out.
It's like even in TNA today. You know, I can't get into him as a heel. It's too entertaining.
That's exactly what it is. The crowd starts chanting for Roddy Piper. Then they keep chanting for him. And then Piper crossed the line the week before trying to tell Ric Flair how to wrestle a match. So Flair said that, you know, he's kind of out of his league, and Piper is a little bit past his prime, so he should be home with his wife and his kids. And, that's all I really remember. Anything else?
And Oakland asked one of the girls that's with Flair if he truly is a 60-minute man, and the girl thought Oakland was talking about Piper. But he was talking about Flair, and she says, more like 30 seconds. So kind of grew up there.
Oh, poor Piper. Well, she has a bad hip, lady. Could be so mean to him. All right. The brand new WCW Cruiserweight Champion, Chris Jericho, the Juventud Guerrera with a Lion Tamer. And what an awesome finishing combo Jericho had at the time. He, like, almost all the time, he would do, like, a Super Frankensteiner and then go for the, it was called the Lion Tamer, eventually the Walls of Jericho. What an awesome combination. I don't know. It was really weird because they really weren't doing much with Jericho right then.
No, and I like how they, you know, kind of like the Boston Crab was kind of just like, it's kind of like a basic submission hold that nobody was really using anymore, but he brought it back and he actually made it look pretty damn painful, the way he put it on guys.
It looked sick looking. The only person he did it to like that again in recent memory was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's awesome. So then Six comes out after he wins the match as Jericho is being interviewed by Mean Gene, and Six said, and I quote, "You beat nothing on Saturday night until you won." A masturbation joke here on Nitro. Awesome. And then, like, they get a little bit of a brawl around the ground. Then we go to commercial. All right. Alex Wright does a little promo. He's saying that just says Lex Luger has nothing on him. Why? No one ever knows, but, you know, that's exciting.
Just a random mention of Lex Luger in there for no reason.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, you know. Then we have Eddie Guerrero wrestling Dean Malenko. Beats him with a brain buster and then a frog splash.
Yeah, I think he like threw him into Chavo or something. Set up the brainbuster to kind of sacrifice his nephew to get the win there.
Which is that's fine with me. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what really can you do? All right, and then it was there was a little stare down between Chavo and Eddie. So there's a little bit of a feud going on between those two, which is cool. it was actually pretty cool at the time. I liked it at least.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd never seen Eddie Guerrero as a heel, and I didn't know how good of a heel he could be at the time.
He was awesome. All right. So Ray Jr. comes out, says he's tired of Nash and the Wolfpack push him around.
He wants to challenge Kevin Nash to a match tonight. He said he'll win because he has the bigger heart. Nash comes out and said that Mysterio thinks that he's the little train that could. And then Nash said he could have the match. And Larry Zbysko, being so pro-WCW, says, it's you, Ray. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, Bischoff comes out. Hogan comes out. He says, they said it's party night for the NWO. Especially since Nash, what's his name? The Magician? That's some top quality stuff, Hogan. I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. I wonder why Hogan's comedy shows aren't doing well, you know?
I couldn't even think of anything that lame.
Yeah, I don't know. So then Hogan says that him and Hall and Randy Savage are going to wrestle Flexi Lexi, that no good stinky giant, and DDPP, which,
I'm laughing because it's so lame. I'm not laughing because it's funny.
Yeah. I mean, honestly. All right,
like something John Cena would say or something like that.
Yeah, Hogan was just so out of date. You know, I love him,
yeah.
You know, but come on. All right, Lord Steven Regal fan against the new WCW luchador Hector Garza after the Regal stretch. And
isn't Hector Garza banned from the United States for like 10 years?
He was in TNA for a while, but then he just disappeared, so I have no idea.
Well, he got busted for steroids trying to go over the border with him or something. And it got he got banned from coming to the United States for like 10 years or something, 5 or 10 years. That's why he never came back.
Well, those luchadors, they wrestle until they're like 50 years old and fat and can't move anymore.
Yeah. It's better when you wear a mask. At least nobody knows how old you are.
Well, their body can kind of give it away.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a luchador and you still have Ric Flair's body, they can tell how old you are.
Yeah.
All right. The Steiner brothers are interviewed by Mean Gene. They say they want a title shot, and they're not going to leave until Hall and Nash accept the challenge. Hall and Nash come out, and it's not even just them. It's actually the whole NWO. And they said they have a contract with them. Sign it without reading it. And, of course, they call him the Einsteiner because that's their hilarious joke. And then... Oh, hang on. I'm sorry. They signed it without reading it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't for a title shot. It was to face Chono and Muda in order to earn a shot at Hall and Nash, which, you know, they're stupid. Whatever. It's fine. Psychosis beats Super Colo. Did you like Psychosis with Sonny Ono? I loved them together. I thought it was funny.
They were okay.
I thought it was awesome.
I just never liked Sonny Ono.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, I liked him a lot. I thought he was funny, like typical, like cliche, stereotypical.
Oh, I did like him when he was with the Cat during his heel run. I thought they were pretty entertaining.
They were.
They're just so stupid.
that's what I liked about wrestling. All right, Flair, Benoit, and Mongo beat Buff Bagwell, Scott Flash Norton, and because Vincent interfered. Ric Flair is really going places. And after the match, Mongo blasted Vincent with the Halliburton. Okay, now they have this, let's talk about this career match, okay?
Okay.
This Benoit feud with Kevin Sullivan has been going for quite a while, you know?
Since the Great American Bash the year before.
Yes, so well over a year. And it's just,
yeah
it's how they built it up, because nothing in wrestling these days, like they don't do anything like that, I don't think. I don't know, I thought it was just really cool.
No, you mean having a feud go a year like that?
Yeah, it never happens.
Yeah, no.
That feud has the realism to it, because, you know, we've discussed it before, but, I mean, think about if that didn't happen, you know? Because if Chris Benoit never stole, you know, Kevin Sullivan's wife, you know, who knows if there would have been, like, a big, horrible murder that eventually happens. I don't know, He'd probably still be wrestling, to be honest.
He
probably would be. Yep. And High Voltage comes out. They beat Wrath and Mortis because Ernest Miller, like, he does this, it looks like he's going to do, Ernest Miller looks like he's going to do a backflip, but then he spins and does a kick to the face. I thought that move was awesome.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, so High Voltage only gets upsets when there's interference. Poor High Voltage. I feel bad for them. All right. You see Raven. Raven, who had just recently left ECW, everybody knew that he had signed with WCW. It was all over the internet. Inside. And there was a limo outside that they had showed. And they wondered if he was the one that was in the limo. Yes, yes. He came out of the limo and then went and sat in a chair. Okay. And they want to know if he's the impact player that WCW signed or if he's DDP's mystery partner, and no one knows.
Yeah, I would say I was shocked to see him because I didn't know. Well, see, I didn't actually even have ECW like TV back then. I wasn't really on the internet, so I didn't know he was even leaving ECW, so it was really shocking to see him there.
It was awesome. The U.S. Heavyweight Champion, who won the title a couple weeks before, Jeff Jarrett made Conan give up to the Figure Four, and it was because Flair helped Jeff Jarrett. So Flair and Jarrett are getting along, and apparently everything's going good with the Horsemen. And then, of course, Jarrett goes out and says that all the Horsemen except for Flair have something in common. He's beaten all of them. And then Flair kicks him out.
He says, he had a great quote. He says, "Tell your story walking, Alan Jackson. You're done." That was awesome.
I love Flair. I love Flair.
Yeah.
And Jarrett said he's going to be the one to put Ric Flair out to pasture, takes his title, and then he leaves. So, all right, what do we got next? We have that match between
Mysterio. I like this match.
Yep. Yeah, it was exciting. It was exciting. Walking through it.
After a brief bit of offense from Mysterio at the beginning of the match, Nash started tossing Mysterio around like a rag doll. And after about a minute of that, it was over. He hit him with a few kicks and stuff like that, knocked him off balance. But then he just killed him with these jackknife power bombs. I mean, you know, look how small Ray is. And he just dropped him like, seemed like about two or three times. And then Conan came out. And they were saying, well, there's a connection with Conan and Ray because, you know, they're both from Mexico. They're both luchadors and stuff. And then Conan puts him, what did he put him in? The Tequila Sunrise or something like that because he had hurt his leg. And so I don't think you can say that was a Conan heel turn. He was already a heel. So I think it was just the start of a new feud.
It was. I mean, that's all it was. It was just the start of a new feud between Rey Mysterio and, man, Conan, which no one could have possibly wanted best. Now we have this. Randy Savage, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash versus DDP.
Lex Luger and the Giant.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, we have them come out, you know, and then there's a big run, like a big schmoz, I guess you could say. Everybody runs into the match. Everybody's attacking everybody.
Sting comes out. Well, the fake Sting comes out. And then the real Sting comes out. And he's trying to protect DDP, so people think that it is Sting that's going to be his partner. And then Mr. Perfect comes out, and he's walking towards the ring. And then Raven climbs over the railing and stares on Hall, and then it ends. That's possibly the best ending to a Nitro ever.
Yeah.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Better than just your typical NWO, you know, beat down and stuff like that. Actually, had some new guys out there, so.
Yes. Made me happy. It did. All right. Go ahead and fire us off.
Let's see. Let me get to it. That shit to beat. Shit, I can't find it.
All right, I'll start us off. All right.
Okay.
We start the show. It's Wrath and Mortis against Glacier and Ernest Miller. And Wrath and Mortis, of course, has lost their big high-profile match to High Voltage. So, of course, they win this match. So, James Vandenberg wraps a chain around the foot of Mortis, and then Mortis kicks Glacier out cold.
Yeah,
so,
that'll do it.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. So that now Glacier's undefeated streak is now over. Chris Jericho defeats Ultimo Dragon.
Great match off here.
Match. Gosh, this was heavy. It was great. And they shook hands afterwards. The Steiner brothers beat Muda and Chono. Much better than it was. It was good.
Yeah.
But Muda and Chono are really starting to age and to think that they're still working, or at least I think one of them is, it's insane. Cause
if this would have been 1992, this probably would have been a hell of a better match.
Oh, it would have been amazing. All right, Hoovy. They beat Viano 4, La Parca, and Psychosis by pinfall when Hector Garza hit Viano 4 with a standing moonsault. No, it was Viano 5. Yeah, because Viano 5 finally was like under the ring or something. And
oh, okay.
Bitch, kind of like the Bella Twins. The Vianos were the original Bella Twins.
I didn't know somebody had got their, didn't know the Roman numerals on this report here I'm reading. Something.
All right. Chris Benoit wrestled Kevin Sullivan in another awesome match. It's a career match. The loser has to retire. And they go all over the building. They destroy the set. Jacqueline's going, fighting too. Sullivan is beating the shit out of Chris Benoit. Benoit's beating the shit out of Sullivan. Jacqueline gets out one of the famous Kevin Sullivan wooden chairs that he's the only owner of.
I love the wooden chairs.
They looked awesome. But he told her, give me the chair. So she just hit him over the head with it. And then Benoit did the headbutt. Normally he dives with it, but he just fell forward on this headbutt. It looked awesome. Awesome.
They should replace all the steel chairs today with the wooden folding chairs and use those instead, and they could do head shots.
They're probably a lot safer.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm kind of led to believe that they're probably not, considering they only use them in Kevin Sullivan matches.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Maybe he has splinters all over his head still to this day. You don't know that.
I was watching one earlier today. I was watching back in '86 when Dusty Rhodes hit Big Bubba over the head with a wooden chair and didn't even knock his hat off. It was awesome.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Gotta love Dusty. All right, Jeff Jarrett wrestled Mongo McMichael, beat him. He hit him over the head with a hot.
And Deborah turned on Mongo in this match.
Yes, she did. What was going on with Deborah and Mongo? Were they still married at this point, or were they like having their marital problems?
I believe they were still married. I don't really know when their marital problems came about. I mean, you know, it was because she was like, it was later in this year, wasn't she? She was pretty much gone after. I think it was maybe like a match with Michael and Alex Wright, and Alex Wright lost, and Alex Wright fired Deborah, and we never saw her again until she came to the WWF. Do not put your wife
maybe
on
that's
TV.
What
you
happened.
Not be married very long. That's the rule in wrestling.
Yeah, you should not go into wrestling while married.
The only people that have ever seen survive wrestling is Jimmy Garvin and Precious. Still together.
They did survive. I think it was survived for a while. Or survived completely. I don't remember who, but I know there was at least one other. All right. Scott Hall and Randy Savage come out for the mystery partner is Kurt Hennig, or as WCW would call him, Kurt Henning. ING.
I thought it was Henning until I actually saw the spelling, like, in 1997 in a magazine.
You thought it was Henning?
Yeah, that's what everybody always said. Henning.
Oh, well, it's actually Hennig.
Yeah. And he was supposed to... Actually, he had just come there because I think maybe, like, the month before his WWF contract finally ran out. That's why he was gone for... That's why he was... not seen for so long. He would have been here earlier if he didn't have that contract. Because he left in like...
in February or March.
Of 96, because he was with his manager, and all of a sudden he was missing. And he was going to go to WCW, but he couldn't get out of his contract, so he just waited. He signed his WCW deal, I guess, and just waited his contract out. And this was the Nitro before was the first time he could make an appearance. His contract
had
run out.
When did he leave the WWF?
In November of 96.
Was it November 96? I thought it was February for some reason.
No, it was because he had just, they did the deal where he was like supposedly an advisor, Mark Mero, and he talked him into putting his Intercontinental title on the line against Triple H. And then he turned on Mark Mero and became Triple H's manager or advisor or whatever you want to call it. And then it was like 2 weeks later, he was gone. He wasn't there anymore. And
yeah, they announced that he had left.
Yeah.
The backstory with that was he wasn't going to wrestle, and they thought he was going to.
Yeah. Because
he was about to get a Lloyd's of London payout. And Vince McMahon said, hey, like, don't pay him because he's going to wrestle for us. So he got pissed off and quit over it. And I always thought that was a mistake for them, you know, doing that to Kurt Hennig.
Usually they'd just, you know, sometimes they've had these guys under these policies and, you know, the company would just pay them out or something like that to get them back in the ring, you know. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they insure professional wrestlers anymore. Pretty sure they don't because of stuff like this.
Oh, yeah, I would assume so. Especially like a Road Warrior Animal.
Yeah,
he took a Road
Warrior Animal, and you know that's why when you know Rick Rude came in later in the year, and that's why you never saw him get knocked around by anybody, did you?
No.
And that's the reason why he had one of those policies. That's why Bret Hart never got knocked around during the Vince McMahon thing.
Hang on, wasn't it though that Rick Rude was training for a comeback though?
Yeah, he was training for one, like, in, I think it's like in maybe 98 or 99, which he would have, yeah, and he died. But, yeah,
like,
the Lloyd's awesome. London got fucked on all these insurance deals.
Boy, did they ever. Boy, did they ever. Well, moral of the story of this match, Hennig's outside, DDP's checking on him, turns around, Hennig bashes him in the back. Turns on him, has the NWO win for some reason. I thought he joined the NWO. That's what I thought. But apparently not.
Yeah. I like how they went for a while, you know, with him teasing the thing with the Horsemen and not going with the NWO and stuff. And Well, eventually later on we'll get to where he did turn, but yeah, I like that they didn't just pull the trigger on him going to the NWO right away. And I knew he was going to turn on DDP in this match. He's just a heel, Kurt Hennig. I mean, I didn't like him as a babyface. He's just got that snobby attitude, it seems, you know, just kind of unlikable.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's the truth. But I mean, like, you like him because he's so unlikable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. They have Flair. This match was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was. It really was.
Yeah, well, you had
Thunder interference.
Yeah, two guys that really know each other. That's probably why it's so great. You know,
yeah.
Two guys that worked so many times before, and I don't know, Ric Flair, he just, his body gets old, but it's just, I don't know, his insides don't get old, I guess I'm saying, I don't know, this guy's just, he's a super freak.
He's great.
Even today.
I mean, he's great. We have Lex Luger and the Giant in the main event against Hollywood Hogan and Dennis Rodman. A lot of people bought this pay-per-view, everybody. A lot of people bought this pay-per-view. Because Dennis Rodman was going to be on there.
And who didn't want to see Dennis Rodman get beat up?
Yes, that's what it was. So Dennis Rodman comes out, and he's wearing, like, stonewashed jeans, skin tight. He was wearing skinny jeans before they were cool. With knee pads over him, over his jeans. And, like, a sleeveless NWO shirt. All right. So, Dennis Rodman does, like, an arm drag or a leapfrog. And they treat it like Dennis Rodman is the second coming of Rey Mysterio or some high flyer or something.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And then...
It's awesome the way they did it. I mean, I even popped for it, you know?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, they built it up well. Then the Giant comes in, goes after Rodman, gives him a reverse atomic drop. Then he turns him over and spanks him. I have no idea why he spanked his ass. He just did. Hogan eventually gets the advantage, gives Luger the leg drop. Luger kicks out. Comes out, hits Giant with a baseball bat. It's clearly Kevin Nash.
Yeah, 7 foot stain.
Yes.
But
this whole
fake stain thing has become comical. It's like the Nash is like total idiots for believing this shit every time.
It's like they're not even trying.
Yeah. It's just, oh God, you look like a fucking idiot.
It's like they're not even trying. Then Luger eventually gets advantage, racks Hogan, Hogan gives up. Rex Dennis Rodman, of course. And then he wrecks Randy Savage, too.
I was shocked the babyfaces won.
I was very shocked as well.
I figure, you know, you got the celebrity. We have these celebrities. They're one of the main things that they always usually happens when they're involved. They have to win, you know. And Hogan's doing a lot of submission jobs this time. I mean, this time in 97. You notice.
But why? Why is he doing it?
I don't know. He's doing a lot of jobs, period. He freaking lost to Jacques Rougeau like a few weeks earlier.
Oh, yeah, he did. He definitely did.
I think he was just doing
a favor for a friend.
Yeah, that was more that. I think this, remember, it was in Boston like a couple of weeks before he submitted the Luger's torture rack in the non-title match. I think it's just building up to one of the shows we'll get to here in a bit. You know, with the big Nitro with the title match with Luger and Hogan. I think it's just building Luger up as a challenger.
All right. So Nitro starts. Michael Buffer introduces the Nitro Girls, the premier.
Oh, God.
Including Kimberly, who is the wife of DDP. And they just dance. That's their, like, right before you go to commercial or right when you come back, you just see these dancing. Okay.
And one of them would become the wife of Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, though, I don't think.
Oh, no, not yet. I'm just saying she would become that in a few years.
No, I mean, I don't think she was even a Nitro girl yet. I think she was the one.
Oh, what? She wasn't?
Yeah, she came on later. Whisper?
Oh, okay.
Came on later.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe I know that. All right. Alex Wright and Prince Iaukea had a no contest. All right. There's something we need to discuss that we haven't discussed yet about the DDP and La Parca thing. Let's get to that. All right. It was a couple of Nitros before this. I think it was actually one that we might have possibly skipped.
Yeah, I think it was the Nitro. It was the go-home show before this, or maybe a couple of weeks before Bash at the Beach. I think we just missed it.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Wentzel. We're going to go into it, though, man. All right. So Macho Man comes out, and he has a match with La Parca. La Parca is just a jobber luchador, you know. So Macho Man's going after him, you know, trying to wrestle La Parca. He's going to beat him. And all of a sudden, La Parca hits Randy Savage with a diamond cutter.
I was going to say what it was is, Savage is going to go for, like, the big elbow or something, and then La Parca just stuck his foot up and, you know, just got a boot to the face, which is weird if he's going for his finisher, and La Parca's going to block his finisher. I thought that was kind of strange, but, yeah. And he got up and hit the diamond cutter and took the mask off and got the 1-2-3. It was one of the biggest pops I ever heard at that time.
Ever. I mean, it's possibly, with the exception of, like, maybe Goldberg winning the title for WCW show. I don't remember a bigger one.
No. But yeah, that was all. I love when they do the mask gimmick. Because La Parca's a big guy anyway. I didn't even notice him being, like, a little bit taller. Because he, for a luchador, he's kind of a tall guy, you know.
Oh, yeah. He was a pretty big luchador. Him and Psychosis were both pretty big.
I mean, this ain't Kevin Nash dressing up as Sting, where you can see it a mile away. So,
Speaking of the Giant comes out, interrupting this match. He chokeslams the referee, chokeslams Prince Iaukea, points at Alex Wright, tells him to get out, chokeslams 6 security people. Alex Wright runs away. Giant said he's headed up to his neck with the NWA. Calls out Kevin Nash, and once Kevin Nash to know that he is at the top of the Giants hit list, since he was the fake Sting at the pay-per-view. And then Doug
very
Dillinger,
angry man, considering they won the main event the night before.
Yes, exactly. But hey, you don't mess with him. Doug Dillinger and the WCW security escorts him out of the building. Eddie beats Chavo. And Hector comes out because Eddie's going after Chavo more. And Hector comes out to save Chavo, his friend. Or not his friend, but his little nephew.
So he should come out as Lasertron.
Yes, he should have. So DDP comes out with Kimberly, the new Nitro girl, wearing a bikini top for some reason. DDP says, him and Kurt Hennig met about 6 months ago, and DDP realized him and Hennig had a lot in common. He said his first choice for his partner last night was Sting, and he said that he's been bailed out so many times by Sting, he didn't even want to go there. So apparently you can't ask your friend. And then his choice after that was Lex Luger and the Giant, but they had other issues. So then his last choice, bottom of the barrel, Kurt Hennig. And he said he does not get mad, he gets even. Kurt Hennig, let me just say this. I don't blame him for turning DDP. That's choice number 3? Shit. I'd be beating his ass too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you still think kind of think of DDP as this
I mean, he just used to be kind of the job guy. I mean, who's he to, you know, like, you know, turn, pick me like third or fourth or something like that. I can understand it.
All right. When he comes out, they said in their match they're going to, and I quote, "This is an old-fashioned ghetto street fight. Those mean streets of Houston, you know." All right, Vicious and Delicious, Mark Bagwell and Scott Norton. I'll fight in a match against the Steiners because Shono and Muda come out. And big beatdown, as usual. Kone comes out with NWO with Six, Hall, and Nash with his bad back. And
he just kind of showed up, like when the limo pulled up in the parking lot. Conan just kind of showed up and, you know, kind of welcomed him. And,
yeah.
I mean, you could figure it out when he was out there, what's going to happen, but.
The Steiners fought off all those NWO guys in the ring. They announced that this week, on Saturday night, J.D. Dillon's going to have a. Then Mean Gene is there with Raven. And all of a sudden, Stevie Richards, who's also from ECW, this was actually a surprise, shows
yeah.
up.
This was a surprise because I remember reading that, like, it was a few weeks before at one of the ECW arena shows that he was supposed to fight, like, Terry Funk, but he came out there and did this, like, emotional promo, like his career was over because of his neck. And then he, like, then he just kind of shows up in WCW, and I think a lot of people saw it as a fuck you, DCW.
Yeah, it really was. It's horrible.
Especially since they've been feuding. Since they've been feuding for like all those months. I don't know if you saw any of that stuff, Raven and Stevie Richards.
Oh, yeah, they had been feuding. But the thing about this was ECW just had their pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Stevie Richards was in the main event of that pay-per-view. Then screwed over ECW. And Stevie Richards thinks, hey, we're friends now. And Raven, like, people know that he has a feud with Stevie Richards. And Stevie, like, doesn't understand. Like, he's like, hey, you said if I signed a contract with WCW. And then Raven spits in his face and just walks away.
Yeah, and I know there was he ended up leaving and going back to ECW in November of this year. And I know there was a lot of heat with people over that. You know, like, well, you just dumped us for WCW. Now you want back in, you know?
Yeah. I love them. Chris Benoit wrestles the hard-hitting Mike Enos, destroys him, beats him with a crippled crossface, and the little talking head comes up, and Chris says, it's time to be a horseman. So, whatever. Super Cool is wrestling someone. It's La Parca. Randy Savage comes out and assumes that DDP is in the La Parca costume again. The DDP comes out, goes after Savage. Headache comes out, hits DDP with the foreign object.
I guess DDP had this La Parca fetish. He's just going to dress up as him the next week and to fight somebody that he has no issue with, and just because, I don't know.
All right, well, Mean Gene interviews Kurt Hennig. He says that DDP is the biggest mark, and he gets cut off. Ric Flair comes out.
It's true.
Yes, it's true. Ric Flair comes out and trying to get Kurt to join the Horsemen. yeah, I mean, Why would you trust the guy?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, so NWO comes out. They introduce Conan, a new member of the NWO.
It was the executive consultant of Ric Flair.
Yes. Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they feuded after that, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, they sure did. He
Kevin
beat Flair in a Loser Leaves Town match.
Yes. NWO comes out. Kevin Nash is in a wheelchair because he has a bad back. So So he's not the fake thing, supposedly, he says. Conan joined the NWO. He's not known
as a good
kid.
I thought he was a good kid in there with, like, with Hall and Nash and Six. Not so much the other guys. But, I mean, he had that cool factor, kind of like Hall and Nash and Six did at the time.
I liked this.
Yeah.
Him as a member.
I never cared much for his work in the ring, but he was, as a character, he was pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was. All right, Hall and Six beat Harlem Heat after the Outsider's Edge on Booker T. Harlem Heat are getting an advantage. Nash comes out of his wheelchair, nails Booker T. And Booker T's up there, getting ready to get slammed down forever. Forever. I don't know.
And Stevie Ray just stood outside and stared at him because he was taking too long.
Horrible. All right, Chono and Muda beat the Harlem Heat, or not the Harlem, sorry, the Public Enemy, I'm sorry. They're both ghetto. Public Enemy, they're beating their ass most of the match. And then the green mist is sprayed in Johnny Grunge's face. And then Chono hits that mafia kick, and they beat him. All right, Jeff Jarrett with Deborah. Beats Ric Flair by DQ. Flair had Jarrett in the figure four. Then it says beating on Jarrett, followed by Benoit.
Oh, he had him in the figure four. Why would he go in the ring?
Because Mongo's stupid.
God, I hate when people do stuff like that. When you got an advantage in a title match and somebody that you're like associated with comes in and interferes when you're not even in trouble. That's so stupid.
All right, this is great. So Luger comes out, challenges Hogan for the world title at Road Wild. Eight members of the NWO come out. Then a person that looks like Sting and, you know, goes, but it's obviously a fake Sting, you know, with long, and the fake Sting walks past NWO. And then he rips off the wig and the mask, and it was the real Sting. So the real Sting dressed up like a fake Sting. And that was it.
All these fake Stings is giving me a headache by now.
Yes, it is. It's horrible.
Hey, Jipper, they've just driven it into the ground. They've just driven it into the ground at this point. It's just, I don't know.
I hated it. I hated it.
It was the same ending to Nitro as it either a Sting's going to come out, a fake Sting, or there's going to be a big NWO beatdown with, you know, nothing really interesting. It's, you know, just the NWO going off the air with the NWO beating somebody up. It's like wash, rinse, repeat. I see it every week.
Every single week.
Yeah.
All right. So the next Nitro was a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, there was a Tuesday Nitro.
Oh, why were they preempted? Was it maybe like an NBA game or something?
I'm not sure. It might have been. I didn't know.
Too late.
I don't know why
the season would have been over.
Maybe they had some. I don't know. Maybe there was one of those Turner movies or something on. They premiere on Monday. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They didn't promote this either. So people showed up on Monday wanting to see Nitro.
Yeah. All right. So Tuesday Nitro. Let's do the last show we covered today. All right. Tuesday Nitro. Show starts with the Nitro Girls. Just so people know, I know we're moving slowly through 1997, but we pre-warned everybody, and we're trying to go into detail just to know, you know, what happened and our reactions and stuff. And, you know, it's hard to get through all this stuff, but we're going to get through it all, so it's going to be a good time. All right.
Yes, makes me long for the days when we just had a Saturday night show to go through.
Yes, and it was very easy to go through.
Wait till Thunder comes around.
Oh gosh. I honestly think we're gonna finish this show, Contrere, and probably if we go through all of WCW and all of WWF, we might finish around 2020.
2012.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how we go.
Well, we'll still be doing WCW when you know like the prediction of the mines comes through next year, and the earth just just destroys itself and we all die. So. Sorry.
It's all right, man. All right, Nitro Girlfriend out. The crowd's chanting for Larry Zbysko. You know, as they always do. He always does that awesome, like, I'm doing it, like, as people can see me, you know, the little bow that he would do. And
yeah. He was over, too, man. I mean, I was kind of surprised. People were into Zbysko.
They were.
He was just such a damn good talker. I mean, Jesus.
He was
one of the best.
Here's a funny little Zbysko story. No, actually, I'll get to it. No, it's way too long. I'll forget about it. All right, and I'll just tell it again then. All right, for Sold Out, he wrestled Scott Hall, remember? Sold Out,
yeah.
98, I think. Well,
when Dusty Rhodes went with the NWO.
Yes, well, he's trying to talk to Hall and trying to threaten Hall from the announce booth or whatever. And out of nowhere, the disco goes, Hall, you're going to be sold out. Like, what does that even mean? Why would he say that? You're going to be sold out. What does he mean by that? That's to me, Contrere.
I don't know.
Right? It was such a stupid thing that he said. Fast forward a couple of years. I met Zbysko in, like, 6 or something like that. At, like, one of those fan things. And I actually got him to record my voicemail on my phone. And he said, like, if you don't leave a message, you're going to be sold out. It was awesome. I had to pay him like $10, but it was well worth it.
Oh, God. That's great.
Yeah, it's funny. All right. Flair said he's going to have the new Horseman tonight. And Kurt Hennig could be wrestling. I wonder. Yep. All right. Hogan and Bischoff come out.
Now, real quick, I noticed that they're using Dennis Rodman's Jimi Hendrix music. This is where that kind of came from, you know, where he would use a Jimi Hendrix Voodoo Child song. And
yes.
Mike May, I guess, see, on the album, it's spelled, Voodoo Child spelled C-H-I-L-E. So Mike Tenay, being the genius, he called it, he said they're coming out to Jimi Hendrix's Voodoo Chili.
Yes. Dead serious, too. Voodoo Chili. And then later
which
on,
was awesome. Later on, somebody correct. I think he like actually heard the song and it's saying Voodoo Child, and he said, "Oh, that's how you pronounce it." So he's kind of making fun of himself. I thought that was funny.
Yes, because this was Hogan beginning to use that as his music, in which he, you know, used it for years.
Voodoo
right.
Chili, that's awesome.
Voodoo Chili. Well, Hogan and Bischoff come out to Voodoo Chili. They talk about how great they are, and how great it was having K-Dog now in the NWA. Then they just laid down in the middle of the ring, and Hogan said that he owns Flexi Lexi, and he accepts Luger's challenge. Sturgis. And I have no idea why they laid.
Well, what happened?
I have no idea why they laid on the ground.
I don't know.
All right, K-Dog.
Maybe they were
K-Dog beat Tsubasa with a Tequila Sunrise. I don't know. He's a masked man.
Must be a jobber. They threw a mask on. They must. The luchadors must have been in Mexico.
Yes, that's probably what happened. Ultimo Dragon beat Dirty Rotten Scoundrel Steve Regal. He made him give up with the Dragon Sleeper to win the World TV title, which is...
Yeah.
I think this was when Regal was starting with his drug problems, possibly.
Might have been.
It might have been.
Because I remember it was, like, early in... It was in 98, I remember he got fired kind of with that thing with Bill Goldberg. You remember that match?
After he gained a lot of weight. He gained a lot of weight, too.
Yeah. He was out of shape on Raw last night.
Who, Regal was?
Yeah, he's put on a lot of weight in the midsection, it looked like, last night.
Well, he's old.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think he's about to retire anyway, so it don't matter.
Well, yeah, like, it's one of those things that, like, I think once you get a certain age, you should switch to, like, a singlet. I honestly think that. Like, maybe just go to a singlet. Like, you know, Brutus Beefcake, now he wears, like, a little... I saw a picture of Brutus Beefcake. He looked good. He's in pretty good shape. Good for the beefer. All right.
Brutus one of those guys. He got into business so young. I don't think... people probably think he's, like, 45 or 50 years old. I don't think he's that old. I think maybe he just, like...
I don't even think he's 40 yet.
Yeah, I think maybe late 30s.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Mean Gene interviews Ric Flair. Said that Arn Anderson contributed to this decision. And he's going to introduce the New Horsemen. Music comes out, and Six comes out instead. It's been a thing of the past. Flair said he's been censored because of Six and almost lost his job because of Six. Yeah.
Apparently he didn't want him in that Slamboree main event match.
Yeah, he was shooting a little bit there.
Yeah.
Flair said Six was too tough for him, and he went to walk away for some reason. And then he elbowed Six in the head. Six got up, Benoit was standing in front of him, and Six said, "You wouldn't pull the scrap of Hall and Nash for here." And Benoit said, "Why don't we just find out, huh?" And, of course, we don't find out who the new Fourth Horseman is. So
Waltman was so good. It's just like the slimy little, you know, just slimy little heel that's like got his big buddies that always take up for him.
Yeah. The Giant comes out, wrestling the Great Muda. Giant goes right after the choke slam. He has a ponytail for some reason, too. You probably also say that. Spits the mist right into his eyes. Vincent and Randy Savage come out to beat him. They're kicking him for about 10 seconds. He gets up, throws him out of the ring. Luger comes out, trying to make the save for the Giant. The Giant... When Luger grabs Giant, Giant went to chokeslam like Luger. Luger yells, like, hey, it's me. He lets him go. That's my tease, a little bit of dissension between the Giant and Lex Luger.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen with that. Nothing. All right. Dean Malenko beats Mongo McMichael with a small package after Jeff Jarrett interferes. And this is the thing where... Go ahead.
I'd have been mad if Steve McMichael beat Dean Malenko. That just sounds wrong.
It really does. and Mongo, on his way out, says the classic line, "I wonder how many of those 1,000 holds he'll remember after I'm through knocking him silly." Baby.
He was such a horrible promo. Steve McMichael.
Yeah, but that's what was funny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't funny. It was just horrible.
All right, well, Jared is trying to recruit, like, his own little version of the Horseman, you know, trying to start a clique, if you will. So he asked Dean Malenko to join up with him. Dean Malenko tell him next week, which you people will really find out next week. All right. Eddie Guerrero will be Hector Guerrero, following a powerbomb and a frog splash. Is, you know... I don't know.
You beat the gobbledygook.
Yeah, it's the same feud. And I don't know. Dean Malenko's involved with so many things. And Dean Malenko comes out too and goes after Eddie Guerrero and then Hector. Yeah, I don't know. All right. J.J. Dillon comes out and said that tonight he's going to sign the contract for Raven to join WCW. It's the official contract. So Raven's just been there as a fan. All right. So in order to get him to sign the contract, so Raven is such a hot commodity. So the commissioner or whatever of the company is willing to bring the contract to his chair in the front row at a show for him to and they said Stevie Richards negotiated the deal and then tore up the contract and then punched Stevie Richards.
Well, if Stevie Richards negotiated my deal, I'd punch him in the face too.
Yes. All right. The person that is wrestling Hulk Hogan at the next pay-per-view, Lex Luger, wrestles Scott Flash Norton, which I love Scott Norton, but he should have just lost this match.
Yeah.
He should have just lost. And because Vincent interfered, and, you know, everybody runs out, and, yeah, I don't know. All right. A Road Wild commercial. They asked, do you know what happens when you mix bikers and wrestling?
You get a bad wrestling show.
Well, yeah, that too. And also the bikers want to see all the black wrestlers get from the year before.
Yeah.
During the Harlem Heat match, treating racist people. All right. And they were doing the Nitro Party thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
What did you think about it?
I thought it was cool.
It was
I was in college, and we didn't really do like a Nitro Party where we actually filmed it, just where we get together and watch Nitro down in Student Union and stuff on the TVs down there.
Was it like a pretty big deal, though?
It would get like over 100 people going to them.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's how big people were into wrestling back then.
You should have. I think you should have sent it a tape. I mean, why wouldn't you have?
I don't know. I don't think any of us had it today to record or back then.
Yeah, I know. That's hilarious.
But it's amazing. It's amazing how many people were into wrestling back then. I mean, even women, too.
I
mean, God.
I know. All right. Paul Nash, they accept Flair and Benoit's challenge. And you see Flair and Kurt Hennig talking. And Hennig says, of course I'm considering it. So it's, what is it, Rap and Mortis against, I think, Laparca and somebody. And he loses.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. Buff Bagwell beats Booker T, which is a future Raw main event right there. But he hits the Buff Blockbuster, and, you know, he had a chance. All right, Nick Patrick, during the match, got into Bagwell's face, and Bagwell shoved him. And this is all just to, you know, get Nick Patrick over as a face referee again. They'll never buy him as a normal referee, like
yeah.
In WCW at least. What's WWF like? You know, I completely forgot about it. But until then, no. All right. Rey Mysterio has a broken leg. He says he does, courtesy of Kenny Dog. And Kenny Dog comes out, kicks his crutches out. So the Vianos, Laparca, and Psychosis come out to protect Ray. Where's
Vianos? I thought that was pretty cool. You know,
yeah.
All the luchadors taking up for him.
Well, the cool thing about this was Mean Gene says that Rey Mysterio has been out for 6 or 7 weeks. But the pay-per-view was like 2.5 weeks before this. And he was there.
He it had been 2 weeks since he was in that, yeah, since he had, Conan had attacked him like 2 weeks earlier, I think.
Yes. Kurt Hennig has his big, and he wrestles M. Wall Street and beats him with a fisherman suplex, a perfect plex, in about a minute. DDP comes out.
First match since Kurt Hennig's first match since November of 93.
Wow.
Yeah, because he was a babyface, and he was supposed to be on the Survivor Series team in 93 in WWF, and he left, and that was his last match before this.
Well, besides the Bash of the Beach, of course.
Oh, the Bash of the Beach, too, yeah.
The Outsiders beat Flair and Benoit when Nash beat Benoit. It was clean.
Yeah.
And it was just a good match. It just was. It was just a good match.
I love watching Benoit against like big guys like Kevin Nash, because he could work with guys like that and make it look good. Didn't you think so?
Seriously, I think so.
I mean, he could work with the Big Show or the Giant or somebody and make it look good. I mean, he was one of those small guys. He could work big with the big guys. That's why he's such a good wrestler.
A great wrestler. Yeah. I mean, excellent. Excellent. Before we go, one quick thing. WWE released a Cody Rhodes t-shirt, and I got it, and it's awesome. And it showed up in the mail today. I'm probably going to wear it on Christmas Day, because that, my friend, is my Christmas best. I mean, what is a better shirt than that? That's pretty much it.
I don't care what Brian and Dave say. I thought that thing on Sunday with Cody Rhodes and the Big Show was tremendous.
It was hilarious.
I love how he's got his underwear labeled by day. How could you not like that? That was so fucking awesome.
Oh. Well, I hadn't watched it yet, and I posted like in the thread, like, and I heard everybody's review of it. I was like, oh, this looks terrible. And then I watched it. I was like, what? This is not terrible. This is fantastic. This is great stuff. Oh, this haters gonna hate, you know, Couture?
Yeah.
All right. We will be back next week. Don't forget to check out our archives on superfriendsuniverse.com. Don't forget to check us out there. And we will be back next week, next Tuesday, same time. And it will be a great show. So, thank you for not calling in, because I prefer that, actually. It's a lot easier. So, all right, till next week. Talk to you guys later.